Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber, StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, March the 18th, 2022. And I have the honor to have Professor Jill on with me. And I just want to bring up some things to everybody before Jill gets on and he comment about this. But Biden and the leader of China are to have a powwow today on the phones. Now, China and Russia had a powwow this past week talking about bringing in Chinese troops, equipment, drones, etc. to help fight the war in the Ukraine. Now, that's very serious, is it not, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there was a couple prophecies out here years ago, Dmitry Duderman and Henry Gruber, and someone sat at the meeting with him when he did the Prophecy Club tour, Henry Gruber, or Dmitry Duderman. I was scheduled to do that tour. He took my place because I got anthrax, folks. That was in 1995. He was an old KGB agent, locked up in Gulag. Later on, he got out, and he was transporting, as I recall, Joe, Bibles from West Germany to East Germany, the Berlin Wall, before they turned it down, tore it down. And he'd go up and pray because he became a born-again Christian. He'd go pray at the border before he got there, and they'd open up his trunk and look, and there weren't any Bibles there, and he was sneaking Bibles several days a week across the border. Well, remember, President Putin, when he became president, he opened it up to where Christianity was allowed again in Russia, basically, and he also opened up where you have Bibles and the whole bit. Now, I look at that as a positive thing, but we've got a lot of negative things in here, and we got too much influence by the bad side in everything that's being played out. But the prophecies, as I recall, Joe, and you can touch on it real quick, and then I want you to talk about what you want to talk about. But basically, there was a meeting in Ohio, Prophecy Club meeting. And a friend of mine, who I'd met when I was creating militias and doing speeches in 1994 and 5, created Gold Guardians of American Liberties, 1.5 million man army, told them to go county to county, state by state. They started forming it. Well, that's helped in a lot of ways. As a backup. But here was the point. One of the people were sitting in that meeting in 1995 and gave me a call later. They were sitting at a table with Dmitry Duderman and Henry Gruber, and their prophecies were almost identical, that we got nuked by Russia, China, invaded by Russia and China like a big cloud, like George Washington's vision. It's on StuWeb.com, punching George Washington's vision. Basically a cloud coming over us. And then when we turned to God, he drove them out of here. The ones that were battling started talking to Jesus, getting them out of here, and they left. But here's the point. As this guy said, the one significant thing that stuck in his brain, besides the prophecies being pretty much close to the same, this is Henry Gruber and a preacher out of Iowa and Dmitry Duderman from Russia. And what was said that was different than they saw nukes hitting America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, was that Henry Gruber said that God showed him there were all these towers that were erected across America just before we got hit. Now, we just had two 5G systems put in. These are the 5G cell towers all across the land of America. He saw that before we got hit. Now, Joe, you want to comment on what I've said first?
I'll take a little bit of time, but you want to know, folks, about what it's being driven by. It really comes down to what we call dispensationalism, and that is where Gog and Magog attacked Israel. There would be the rapture, and the Antichrist would enter the temple. Then Jesus would come and destroy them all. So that'll give you just a thumbnail sketch.
Now, I think Revelations 13, excuse me, 13 and 19 kind of play into this, doesn't it?
Those are the best, if you, in my opinion, if you want to do the prophecy thing, I would just study Revelation 13 and Revelation 19.
All right.
Which what I would do.
Okay. Now, Joe, give us your report today, please. Professor Joe.
We always have to wait, and it's out there for anybody that wants to take the time to pull. It's like picking cherries. a little here, a little there, and then you put in the collage so that you can see maybe what is going on and what is happening and what is going to happen. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to just give just a little tiny thumbnail sketch of the Rus. The word Rus means roar. They are the Vikings that came down the Great Volga and then conquered all of what is today modern-day Russia. They came into conflict with what we call the Khazars. Now, the Khazars are a Turk Mongol people that lived up around the Caspian Sea. King Bulan united them in 700 AD and created the Khazarian Kingdom. Those two cultures conflicted. They lost. Then came along what we call the Mongolians, and the Mongolians pushed the Khazars into Europe. The merchants, the business people, and the farmers went to modern-day Poland and Germany. The political branch, using a modern term, went to what we call Italy. They became what is called the Black Nobility. Then the royalty went and settled in Spain. So these people had their bond in what we call the Talmud, because King Bulan needed a religion to unite them, and he used Judaism to unite his people, because if he chose Christianity, the Muslims would come after him. If he chose Islam, the Christians would come after him. So simply what he did was he chose Judaism. And what he did was, taking from the teachers of what we would call the Sephardic Jew, they began teaching them the Talmud. And this was over a long period of time. It was slowly done. It was not all at once. But they stayed united, and eventually these Khazars became the world bankers. So did some of the Sephardic Jews. They became the world bankers. Now let's go and take a look at what we call Russia. The Bolsheviks came in 1918, but they really came in and set things up long before that, going back all the way up to about 1890. And what they did was to set up Russia and overtake Russia, then use Russia to conquer Europe, then from Europe conquer the world. They were called the Bolsheviks, and this was led by people like Trotsky. When the revolution occurred after 1918, the one that came out ahead to lead Communist International was Lenin. He died. There was a conflict then between Stalin and Trotsky. Trotsky was more of an internationalist. Stalin was more of a nationalist. Both of them were communists, but Stalin was not an internationalist. He won, and all of the Trotskyites fled for their lives because it became a conflict between the internationalists and the nationalists. Stalin won. That is where, under Stalin, there were 55 million Rus that were killed by the Bolshevik. There were 12 million what we now call Ukrainians, murdered by the Bolsheviks. I'm saying this because there were Ukrainians that did not want to live under the Bolsheviks. Now, I'm going to come back to that point in a minute. So, when Stalin took his firm control, he created the state called Ukraine. Before that, it was just a part of Russia. So Ukraine became a province of what we would call the Union of the Soviets. These Ukrainians were still ethnic Rus. When World War II happened, the Bolsheviks went after to fight Germany. Germany went after the Bolsheviks. They recruited Ukrainians, that is, both sides recruited Ukrainians to fight each other. That is, you had Ukrainians who did not want to live under communism and Bolshevism, and they fought for Germany. You had then the Ukrainians who fought for the Soviet Union. Then in the middle, you had a group that developed called nationalists, and they were under a man by the name of Bandera. Bandera was eventually put in prison and isolated. But from 1942 until 1954, these nationalist Ukrainians fought against the Soviets and fought against the Germans all the way to 1954. Now, fast forward to this time. The nationalists controlled the government, but there were those that were friendly to the Soviet Union. There were those that were not because of World War II. So along comes Victoria Nuland, who is a Khazarian, and her husband, Robert Kagan, who were part of what we call the neocons. They are the ones that wrote the project for the New American Century that turned the entire Middle East into a turmoil. They put in their man, and then there was another election. In other words, Nuland and her group overthrew the duly elected president, and he was friendly towards Russia. Russia became, they felt threatened because Russia, 50% of the GDP of Russia is oil and gas. Now, I better put in this time that a gas pipeline has been made from Israel all the way over to northern Italy. It's a rich natural gas that has been very fertile and will make billions of dollars for the state of Israel. That gas pipeline ends up near the Ukraine, and they have to put that gas pipeline through the Ukraine. That will compete with Russia. And Russians do not want to lose that money because 50% of their GDP is natural gas and oil.
Now, I'll add something. In the Caspian Sea Basin, Black Sea, whatever you call it, up there near Crimea, is where the second largest oil find is in the world. Is that correct, Joe, pretty much?
Yes.
And that's Russia, folks. They want to get to that. They want to get to that. That's like the North Pole that Americans paid for, and was promised a pipeline to feed us oil and gas, or oil, and we've never received any. It all goes to Japan and around the world to be processed, except for part of it, what goes to Larry Mizell's, it used to be Millman's, refinery in Northern California, where they used to suck it out for free. Now, what's interesting about that Northern Pipeline, because I know this, there's six corporations in front of British Petroleum, which now controls it, BP, and there's six corporations. One of the corporations' name was Leonard Millman and George Herbert Walker Bush on one of them, Henry Kissinger's on another one with someone else. Anyway, it came down to the 12 disciples of Satan. And we paid for that pipeline to supply us oil, and we've never gotten any. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Now, that pipeline that I'm talking about doesn't have anything to do with the pipeline that Stu is talking about. This pipeline is strictly for natural gas. The pipeline has been laid, or it's near completion. It has to cross the Ukraine to get into Europe to the customers. That will interfere and be competitive with Russia. All right, so let's go back now to what we call the nationalists. Originally, in 2014, they had an election of a person, a Ukrainian, that was friendly towards Russia. Victoria Nuland and the neocons came in, and remember, these nationalists were kind of like Nazis, if you want to call it, but they were more pro-Ukrainian. Okay, so that group was overthrown. Victoria Nuland and her crowd put in their man. Then along comes Kalinske. Kalinske is he is controlled by the neocon crowd. And he is the one that Putin is fighting against. He's the one that went in and made this impassioned thing before Congress that we have been violating and et cetera, et cetera. But what was happening, because over a period of time, the Ukrainians that are in the East feel more akin to Russia. The ones that are in the West feel more akin to their own nationalism. So what Putin has done, because of Kalinske and the others who have began to be prejudiced against the Eastern Ukrainians, and it is a Mac going in and committing a genocide against them. And as a matter of fact, the Ukrainian government under Kalinske was getting ready to push back against Putin, and Putin could not let this go on. Plus, he was being threatened with the loss of the use of that pipeline. He had to come in and do something about it. Now, folks, don't think that Putin is going to come in and take over the entire Ukraine. He's already said he's not. The only thing he's going to do is he's going to take Donetsk and three other cities all the way up to Kiev, because that's part of the Crimea. The Russians need the Crimea to have an access to the open sea. So as soon as Putin is able to take care of Donetsk and the other cities and Kiev, that'll be it. But they can't allow, that is, the nationalists under Victoria Nuland and the neocons, they're doing it again. They're bringing back another Iraqian problem again. And to tell you how nasty that was, there's a pipeline that comes out of Iraq. That pipeline ends up around near Syria. There's a big refinery there. There's a lot of corruption there. But all of that oil goes down to Israel, and not one bit of it is paid for. It's stolen. So they're kind of doing the same thing, and that'll give you why we have this conflict now. It is between Putin and Donetsk and another city and Kiev. That part of eastern Ukraine, they have to keep. And what is happening is that NATO, under the neocons, are surrounding Russia with NATO. And that is to force Putin to submit to them under certain business deals. And so that is the essence of the fight. Now we're going to go to make one more jump. There could be a mistake made. What happens if somebody, for whatever reason, pushes the button, and then we get into a nuclear conflict? And thus the story of Stu's two prophecies that he's mentioned, and a prophecy by Samir von Rensburg, who lived until 1926. He was a Boer. He was illiterate, but his daughter would read the Bible to him, and he would receive prophecies concerning South Africa. And what he did was, one of the prophecies said, after the orange man is elected president, the Russia and the United States would go to war.
The orange man being Donald Trump.
And the orange man is, of course, Donald Trump. And the word specifically orange is used. Now, what does that mean? What happens if that does happen? Is the mattress fault line going to be affected? Is the San Andreas fault line off of California going to be affected? Is the Great Caldera up in Montana, is that going to be affected where the volcano goes off?
Yellowstone.
Go ahead, Stu.
Yellowstone. I mean, it's been rising for a long time, and I've had spooks tell me that if that thing ever blew, that if you live in the northern hemisphere of the United States, he says, Stu. And this was Super Spook Otis Johnson. I mention him quite often because he became a real good friend, and he was a true 007, and he just revealed everything to me. Now, they murdered him, and they fired General Flynn 2 weeks after he was murdered with Stonar Technology because I talked to him on his deathbed, and he said, they got me, Stu, this time. But I spent a lot of time with this man, and I met him in jail in Denver. He was William Casey's direct assistant, spoke. And he had been at the old Navari getting a signature of Daddy Bush while he witnessed him killing an infant. Daddy Bush said, you ever tell anybody, Otis, what you see, and I'll kill you. This kind of stuff. Otis told me if Yellowstone ever blows, which he says they're expecting one day a possibility, and if we ever got attacked, it would happen. He says Denver, Colorado would be buried 12 feet of ash. Everything on the northern hemisphere, all across Wyoming and Nebraska and Iowa, etc., the northern states would all be covered in anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of ash. He says, Stu, Kansas City, where you live, he said, we'll have 4 feet. These are feet, folks, not inches. He said Kansas City would have 4 feet of ash minimum. He says, Stu, when you see certain things start to happen, keep your gas tank full. And he says, if we get hit, get your car. If Yellowstone blows, he says, drive as far straight south as you can do. Because he said, you get around the border of Arkansas and Missouri, you're only going to be sitting with about 2 feet of ash. Well, this is going to smother and kill a lot of people if it happens. And I want to add something on the New Madrid Fault. The New Madrid Fault in the four corners of Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, and Arkansas shakes at about a 3.5 each day. You can look it up in the USGA. I think it is. Anyway, earthquakes, like the New Madrid, shakes every day at this. Now, when they pulled out and caused that oil spill 10, 12 years ago in the Gulf of Mexico, it was intentional. They drew out 10 years worth of oil by putting skimmers out there, Valdez skimmers, and they put those skimmers out there, sucked up the oil and throws the water out, and they end up with 5 or 10% water in the oil, and then they siphon it out to refinery. But the thing was, it created a dead zone from the methane gas, and there's another gas. Now, these oil stacks you see on TV out in the ocean and different places, they got a big fire going on all the time. It's burning the deadly gas off. If you take one breath of that methane gas, you are dead. Now, after the spill, I noticed, because I looked it up, I think it was British Petroleum, had a 333,000% profit they booked on, but they didn't pay tax on it, on their books within the first quarter. That was all the oil. But it left a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. And Deborah Dupree, I used to put on, she wrote a book about it, about 6,000 miscarriages within the first year that women were eating the fish out of the Gulf immediately thereafter had miscarriages. Now, down in Tennessee, in the Four Corners, but in the Tennessee Basin, it follows the Missouri River down, or the Mississippi River down, they had to close an entire county about a month and a half after that oil spill because methane gas was coming up out and they were detecting it. And they had to close the whole county down because if anybody had a water heater that was on gas and the methane got in there, it would cause something equivalent to a nuclear explosion, folks. So they closed the whole county down, paid them to move, got everybody out of the county, surrounded it with troops, military. I believe it's police probably guarding it now, but it's still being guarded because that methane gas is coming out of there. Now, one of the things it does is there's been flocks of birds in the area, big flocks of birds that all of a sudden died, especially in Arkansas. There's been several reports. Now, there was a gal with CNN that came on and did a report. She was kind of attractive and the whole bit, but she did a report and took a diving suit and went down with another diver and was reporting about this dead, this big bubble of dead zone, they called it. And fish were popping up dead and everything else. Sharks were leaving the area. Everything was leaving the area and ended up on near the Florida coast because of this dead zone. But she reported about these people dying and all the other stuff, which is all true. But if that thing ever blows, that artery ran from the four corners of Missouri where the Madrid Fault is. It ran all the way down to Mississippi. It went out into the Gulf where that refinery or that stack was that blew, all the oil spilled. But the artery ran around, turned east, and ran clear over to the southern tip of Florida, or wrapped around into Miami and the whole bit around that area. All that gas is still coming up out of the ocean. And it's coming out mainly in the Tennessee area, escaping out through there. That's it. Methane is the second gas that I was told about. Now, there's what's called the Scallon map. Now, I forgot exactly, but he was out of Office of Naval Intelligence, as I recall, Joe, and maybe refresh my memory. But he had drawn a map how our future is going to be. The Gulf of Mexico will encompass half of the state of Missouri to Columbia. It will go all the way to the Great Lakes, up to Chicago and the Great Lakes, and it will cover half of, if not 90%, of the state of Illinois because of being pretty flat over there. And that's going to open up the Gulf of Mexico. A nuclear bomb hitting in that area, hitting America, could open this up. It would blow the volcano in Wyoming. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, now let's go back to Putin. And for you folks that want to be and remain objective, I recommend Oliver Stone's Ukraine on Fire. He does a good job of being objective. The other one is Why Russia Invaded the Ukraine. The third one is about specifically of where these nationalists came from. It is called the Ukrainian Insurgent Army. I'll say that again. The Ukrainian Insurgent Army. Those three videos will give you a very good picture of why and what is happening in Ukraine. And so that's it, Stu.
Well, I want to mention something because I want to thank you because you participated in it. But folks, I have a documentary. Filmmaker was here, did a documentary on me. And he's going to be doing it on several whistleblowers, including Jim Fetzer. But Joe participated in it by phone, audio. It's being spliced now. It'll be done in a couple, 3 days. And I will be offering it for a donation. It's going to be about 4 hours from start to finish. My 38 years as a whistleblower, how I got started, and what I know. And before he left, and he came back, because he had to make a trip down to Dallas, and he came back and finished it a couple days ago, he said, Stu, you got a photographic memory. Well, I laid it out of all these super spooks I met, all the different things that were told to me over the years that I've never even revealed. There's so much top secret stuff in this video that's going to be available probably within about 3 to 4 days. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. I think you ought to get in there and listen to it, and you'll have some of my knowledge, and you'll have some of Joe's knowledge. But also, Joe, I want to compliment you because you did two radio shows with me about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and one of them was called The Confederation and the Con Confederation. And it was an excellent piece of things that I've known part of it for years, but you were way ahead of me. I've had people that are in the know that told me that it's very accurate, very accurate. You got to understand our enemy. They're out there in flying saucers. We got the good guys. We got the bad guys. The bad guys are the evil ones, the fallen angel bloodline, the fallen angels themselves. And then we've got the good ones. Now, Joe, I just want you to touch with the, and you did one on called Ley Lines the following day or 2 days later. Now, you go to Stu Webb, go to the radio bar, or go to the breaking news column, and you can click there and listen to it. Now, it was about an hour and a half on the first one we did, and I think an hour on the second one. You want to fill your ear with something that nobody's ever said before. I am already taking heat over that. I got the tails back on me. I got them trying to car crash me, going to visit with attorneys this past week, and the whole bit. Trying to car crash me again, trying to assassinate me. And part of it's to do with this radio program, and I know it. I've told Joe to watch his back as well. And we're being attacked in every way. It's unbelievable. I mean, the evil attacks upon me, it's one after another, after another, after another. And I got radiation poisoning from having a smart meter in here that I did not want in here. And I got radiation poisoning, and I've been tested. I'm going to be retested. I'm taking Sperlinium to get it out of me. It's the only thing that they do. They used it on the kids in Chernobyl when it went off over there in Russia. And 6 weeks later, they got half the radiation poisoning out of them. As a result of that, I had five teeth had to be removed yesterday because of the radiation poisoning. Now, Joe, tell them, give them a basic scenario real quick on the Galactic Foundation or Galactic Confederation, and just give a quick summary so we can get their attention so they will go in and listen to those two programs on top of this one. These are all very vital. Joe turned 80 this past week, and I guarantee you his wisdom and knowledge is beyond mine. And when you see what I revealed in this new documentary on me, you will understand part of what I know. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, what Stu is talking about, simply put, the Confederation Bad Guys Black Hat. Galactic Federation Good Guys White Hat. You could call them Faction 1, Faction 2. That's what Gunter Rauschbacher said. So essentially, it is the Confederation is led by the fallen angel aliens, as Otis Johnson has said. And the Galactic is led by Jesus Christ. And that sums it up. Just keep it that simple in your head. And there was a great movement that happened because, according to William Tompkins, the aliens and Ed Slate said the same thing, that the aliens, the Confederation, contacted the people at Paramunda, where it was in East Germany, where they were doing all kinds of secret programs, gave them anti-gravity machines. Ed Slade confirmed that. All of those people, 2 million of them, went down at the invitation of these fallen angel aliens that take a serpentine form to a place was named Schwabenland, and it was under the ice. And this is where we get into the story of Admiral Byrd going down to the Antarctica and getting into a conflict, but it was under the guise of exploring the Antarctic. Later, Byrd went to the North Pole and went inside it and met the King of the World in Telos and Agartha.
Now, there's a sun in the moon, or in the center of the earth, folks. The Aurora Borealis, I believe they call it, and showed it the other day on. They showed it the other day on TV. Oh, the Northern Lights. That's from the sun in the center of the Earth. I saw a top secret document, still classified, under Operation Blue Book, that Otis Johnson had in his file cabinet. He says, "I'm gonna show you something." It's about 60 kilometers wide. There used to be a KGB video of the North Pole and how the earth or the water goes into the center of the earth. Under Operation Blue Book, two Air Force jets were ordered to chase two flying saucers into the North Pole. So they're following orders. They fly in there and whoa, their gauges go nuts, but they got in there and they said it was like the Garden of Eden in there, and there was a big sun in the center of the earth. That's the reason for the Aurora Borealis, I think they call it. Now their gauges were going nuts. They didn't know how much gas they had. They turned around and flew back the same direction, came out of the North Pole. And that is still classified, or at least it was years ago when Otis showed it to me. It was classified. He was NSA top chief. I mean, he ordered a strike on an underground UFO base after shooting down a French airliner. They had the communication coming from Daddy Bush communicating with these aliens who had the underground base, and they lost 10 saucers. And I said, Otis, is it true that the French did this? They bombarded it with the French de Gaulle with nuclear-tipped torpedoes. He goes, yeah, Stu, what do you want to know about it? I just want to know if it really happened. He said, yeah, it happened last night. He said, they woke me up, and he says, I went on shift, and he says, I was the one that gave the order for the USS Blink to go over there and accompany him and shoot the saucer bases underneath the water. And he says, you know the funny part about it, Stu? I said, what? He says, I never woke up Barack Obama. I just did it. Now, those are the kind of people I've come across. I just made about a four-hour documentary, and it's power-packed. And if you want to learn Stu Webb's 38 years as the whistleblower, I think I'm the last living one of that era, except for Terry Reid, and he had to shut his mouth up to keep from getting murdered. But his book, Clinton Bush and the CIA, is still available on Amazon, and you can buy that book. But when you get a gun stuck to your mouth by the FBI and the CIA both, and they got a gun to your wife's head, and they're going to kill you both, you either take this small amount of money or shut up. Well, he shut up because he had been a CIA pilot, and he was flying from Mena, Arkansas to Miranda Air Base down near Joel, hauling computers and computer parts during Iran-Contra. He wasn't hauling drugs, he was hauling parts. And his book is a good read. But do you want to comment any last comment, Joe?
Oh, yes. Here we have this impassioned speech by Kalinske, who is a neocon. He is not a nationalist, a real nationalist. Everything that they paid, Newland and the group paid off, the government, and put in their people, the neocons put in their people. Those are who are leading the nationalists. If we are so concerned about the Ukrainian border, what about our border? There are now, folks, 170,000 people lining up at the border right now. 170. 2 million have come through for this year alone. It is part of what we call the Calgary Plan, K-A-L-G-E-R-I, Calgary Plan. It is a population replacement, and then the same thing is happening to Europe. They are being inundated, and there are places in Sweden, in Malmo, where you cannot go in because the Middle Eastern drug gangs are at war with each other with fully automatic weapons and hand grenades. Is that what we're going to have? And right now, they've had, just day before yesterday, they had a big shootout between the cartels. And if you want to, you go to Oscar Blue, or you go to Anthony Aguero. I've said this before. They're already after those two guys. They do the best job. They're the only ones that are exposing this. And these people just come across on the raft, walk in, Border Patrol does the paperwork and ships on into the United States. And Anthony was even saying to everybody, you're laughing at me because I wear a bulletproof vest, but watch this. And you could see the tracers from a 50 cal being shot across the river. And right now, the border is on fire.
Now, I want to add one other thing. You have a friend who was a 911 whistleblower pilot on the day of 911. He was in the air. He was flying. Go ahead.
Russ Wittenberg flew two of the airlines that was used to allegedly crash into the building, but I have seen the photos. I have seen the photos of the art students from Israel on the 91st floor of the South Tower, and with boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of detonators. You could read the sign, said detonators. And that's what kicked off the Pact for the New American Century.
That,
a Pearl Harbor event. Well, we've got another one now. What are we going to do with 170 in the cart? Mexico now has the top 10 murder cities in the world. In the last 2 years, they've lost 100,000 people who have been shot up by the cartels. That is coming over here. In Phoenix alone, we have now lost 14 officers in just Phoenix alone. And we know what that is. That's the cartel work.
Now, Russ,
so there you have it.
Russ did a show with me a while back, and it's been a year ago or something. It's on Stu Webb Radio Bar 1. Just scroll down and look for Russ Wittenberg. But here's the point. Russ told us about all these airlines coming into, was it North Carolina, South Carolina? Daily. He flew into that one of the two spots. And they're bringing all these Kenyans and Somalians over there. The government is. And they're just turning them loose. It's like if you go to Minnesota, I think now we've got, 150,000 or 200,000, basically illegal Somalians, Kenyans, living in Minnesota, Minneapolis. They've been invaded these cities. We have a problem, folks, with these illegals over here. And the government's doing it, and they're hiring many of them to assassinate people like me. If you go to StuWeb.com and you look at that picture of my band sitting on a concrete barrier, and you read the PI's report where the Grandview Police Department covered it up for the CIA, those were Kenyans that tried to kill me. Then when I sued him, I used the money that I would have got, 12 grand from his insurance. It was all I got. I didn't get it. I paid the PI to recreate it. He's one of the top experts, private investigator, and he did a fantastic job of the same report I supplied to the police department within 2 or 3 days after I laid in intensive care with all my vertebrae and my neck broken and part of my back from that rollover. Take a look at that band in that report by the PI. You can understand my head. If it hadn't been for a wall that I built behind the seats of the van to keep people out of my toolbox and back, and you see plywood that was smashed in with the windows, to keep them out of my contractor toolbox, I would have been dead from that. I'm still alive and breathing, and I intend on being. Now, I want everybody, if you would, I'm going to be having this video up within a few days, about a 4-hour document. All I ask is make a contribution. It's been a lot of work. It's been years of hell, and very few people have really helped and supported me. I need that now. I need it badly, and I want to help Joe, and I want to help some other people. So if we can get a lot of contributions, other people need help as well. And believe me, I will be sharing that with them. Joe, any last words?
Just remember what's coming up through the border, and they are spreading them out throughout the United States, not in just one place. One of the places, though, Ted Brower and some of his people have commented on, the number of people that are coming from out of country and they're showing up out of nowhere. Where are these people coming from? They are the ones that are crossing the border all the way from Brownsville all the way over to Tijuana. And 170,000 are lining up to come across again. In other words, they just walk across.
They walk across and they're not detained. Detained and released. The Biden administration.
All they are is just detained. Border Patrol does a cursing thing on them, then they release them.
Right out into the general population. Now, you wonder where the competition on the jobs are. These are illegals taking jobs. We've got all these illegals running around causing chaos in America, robberies and everything else, murders. I mean, they've caught quite a few of them. But we have this. What is the reason that they are allowing this to happen, Joe?
Civilization. These people, many of them are illiterate or just functionally literate. They have little education and they have not been vetted. Everybody along the border, as I was told by a border agent who was very well informed, because of the poverty of Mexico, the population is heavily involved in trafficking. And the center and the control of the trafficking is El Paso, Texas. on the American side.
This is child trafficking. There are men bringing these little kids in with them, and they're going to different networks of pedophilia networks, whatever you want to call them. I put on Debbie Davis, former whistleblower out of Arizona, who was a National Guard, that said John McCain was running the drugs, running the trafficking, as well as body parts on the military bases in Arizona. Now, she's been on with me before. I'll have her on soon again. But go to the radio bar once again, look up Debbie Davis and listen to her story about John McCain. Now, Joe, you live in Arizona. You know what I'm talking about. Is it true?
Yeah.
It's true.
Arizona is a big distribution point for everything.
Because of Miranda Air Base. Miranda Air Base.
It's just not Miranda Air Base. It's one of the entry points. Right now, the biggest thrust comes through Del Rio, Brownsville, and Laredo. And so, take a look at those videos by Anthony. They're worth your time because just watch it for 10 minutes and you can see that they're not crawling through the desert and they're poor and they're ragged. No, they're well-dressed, well-fed, and they're brought up here on buses. And they stay at camps along the way. And then they bring them over and the coyotes cross them over in a rubber raft. The Border Patrol is sitting down at the tables because they have been told to what we call detain and release. And all the president has to do is call arrest and return. But they won't do it because it is the Calgary plan. Go read it and you'll see why it's happening. It is to put the end to Western European civilization.
Now, I want to add one thing before we close. Because I have a whistleblower who's an attorney, former Colorado prosecutor. She's mentioned in the video that's coming up because she gave me permission to do so. They murdered her husband. She's in another country. She had to leave this country, her and her husband, to keep from getting killed. Now she's in another country. They murdered her husband, targeting with Stonar technology and a Zentrica, a pill that they had given him. He ended up dead. Here's the point. A car crashed her in Colorado after she made a phone call to me 15 minutes later. 80 miles an hour hit her in a 25-mile-an-hour zone as she's crossing a four-way stop. They tried to murder her. Now, this was about a year, year and a half ago when she was back in the country for a short period of time, and her husband was so ill, he was on his deathbed. But she had to come back and take care of business in Colorado. She knows where the bodies are buried. But her husband and her had come to know the fact that K-State, Kansas University, Manhattan, was making biological chemical agents for the United States government. And all these biochemicals got shipped by Israel and China to the Ukraine. And then the Ukraine set up labs over there and started doing it themselves. This is a very dangerous time for planet Earth, period, because if Russia hits or now the U.S. thinks it's going to give all this money to and these weapons to the Ukrainians. If someone hits one of those underground bases that they've got or hits their storage dumps, the entire planet is going to be lit up with biological chemical agents that are going to kill probably a third or half of mankind. We are at a very serious situation. And today, Biden is talking to the president or the leader of China, trying to convince him that, hey, you get involved and we're going to do economic and military action against you. It's been all over the national news. Now, Putin invited China into the war here this past week. This is coming back to some prophecies that may come true. And if they do, folks, I hope you've got your gun. I hope you have your ammo. I hope you have your gas masks. And I hope you survive it. And the only thing that's going to get you through this is Jesus Christ. Am I right or wrong, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Because tonight at 12:45 a.m. will be the peak for the full moon ceremony. I guarantee you they will be doing. The neocons and all of those guys and the dark Illuminati are going to be doing their big sacrifices to get what they want, because the fallen angel alien loves to have war, because blood is spilled and they live off the life that is in the blood.
Now we have the equinox turning from winter to spring, and we got the full moon coming on the day before, because on Sunday morning is the equinox, as I recall. And we got a full moon. This intensifies what they do. Now, we did a show right behind the Galactic Foundation the next day or two called Ley Lines. You need to listen to that show. Just touch for a moment on that so I would get their attention from this program to go listen to the other two programs you did, Joe. This man is 80 years of age. I'm 67. I've been doing this for 38 years, strapped in the box of a whistleblower. Joe has more knowledge than I have on certain subjects. Touch on it, Joe, about the ley lines.
All right. This comes from one of Stu's radio people from Veterans Today when he had Veterans Radio. His name was Jay Parker. Rose Valley, Pennsylvania, was a little village that was strictly made for the dark Illuminati called Satanists. Across of the way in Arden, Delaware, was another village that was created for them. Between those two villages, they have a ley line. It's called the Arcadian Ley Line. That goes all the way down to Pyramid of the Moon, Pyramid of the Sun, goes all the way around the Earth. And that is where Ed Slade met the tall, dark Nordic, where he was introduced to a UFO. But what they do is they do their rituals to influence the ley line. The ley line is just an energetic ley line. And they influence that because we have all kinds of ley lines and acupressure points in our feet. It eventually affects us. But I guarantee you the Great Galactic is countering this all the time. It's just a spiritual warfare that you never hear about. And so on every full moon, they do this. And every new moon, they do this. And so there are those that are called the prayer warriors that are calling upon the blood of Jesus Christ to go and stay the hand of the executioner that took place in places like the old Navari, called the Anschutz Western Art Museum in downtown Denver. That was one of the places where his friend Otis Johnson saw and witnessed a sacrifice. It goes on all the time. It doesn't stop. And it follows the equinoxes, and it follows the seasons. So this tonight is one of those nights. So say your prayers. Stay the hand of the executioner.
In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, by his stripes, you got to gain your faith, and you better start praying, because we are at a time. And I've been told this besides Otis Johnson before his death, other people that I had met while I was in prison, CIA up to yin yang, about 2,000 of them actually, and 500 federal agents trying to bust them. Now, you mentioned Ed Slade, he became a friend of mine in Las Vegas. You mentioned other people. Gunther Rusbacher. There's a document given to me by a former FBI sting operation that I met. Stuffed in a jail cell in Springfield, Missouri, where we're all being analyzed. He's up on the 911 FBI whistleblower. I forgot her name, her website. She doesn't have my name up there because I didn't work for the government, even though I was classified as a federal whistleblower and was given a letter by Congress because of the congressional investigations I caused. Silverado, Denver Airport, Keating 5, they dubbed it MDC 200, and HUD. Now, John Cole gave me a document, and it's on my website that shows F-16 fighter jets, Apache helicopters, there's a picture, bold breaking news. It mentions Gunther Rusbacher. He was the one shipping the stuff for Daddy Bush. He got locked up. His wife, who set him up, was Ray Allen Rusbacher, who runs Rumor Mill News. She's a troll stooge like Alex Jones, Jeff Renz, and the list goes on. It's to keep you at bay. It's not to allow you to have the truth. Now, Joe, I don't know what else to say right now.
I thank you to conclude the show.
Well, let's conclude it. I want to thank you for coming on. And folks, go to prayer tonight. This is very serious for the next couple of days. Be praying against the enemy. Stay the execution of all these people. They're going to be sacrificed, and mainly children and infants. The younger, the more power they get. The more power these fallen angel aliens, and there's 200,000 of them that are in human form. They are occupying humans. That the NSA has a list of their names because of the 2012 alien agreement, which has been extended. And that's where Ed Slade worked, Papoose Lake, Nevada. Not Groom Lake, not Area 51, Area 52, but Papoose, where the alien base is, where he was making toys for the aliens on behalf of the government, because they need human beings to do their work. Now, Ed was a Jew. He later became born again, believed in Jesus Christ, and that's what saved him. He was in a coma for 2 years before I met him, where he was retired, and they tried to murder him, and they also murdered 5 of his colleagues. They were all buried out there in the desert on what they call S4. S4. Anyway, with that said, Joe, thank you for coming on.
All right.
I appreciate it. Folks, have a good day. Thank you, Joe.